Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today's Wednesday, May 19th, 2021. I'm your host, Robert. Hope everybody's having a good week so far. I think overall, as Americans, we've had a pretty good week. I mean, our side anyway. I can't really say the same for the left. I'm starting to feel a change in the wind lately. You feel that little energy shift in our direction? A lot has happened in the last couple of days, so I'm going to bounce around to different topics. I know the audits and the election investigations, that's probably the biggest thing going on right now. But I'm going to hold off probably a couple or a few days from now with that. There's a lot of things kind of in development right now with that. I just want to, you know, touch on a few things today about it, but I'm going to hold off on details until a few things develop just a little bit further. Maricopa is still the place to watch. There is one thing that bothers me about every single one of these key swing states, and that's this, okay? The massive allegations of fraud, it all occurred in a few states that Biden needed and in the exact counties that he would need to win in order to carry the state, right? The issue that I have is that everyone involved in the actual election process, the people on the ground, everyone involved in these states, they want nothing to do with any kind of an audit, any kind of an investigation, nothing. They're doing everything that they can, not just in Arizona, but in all of these states, everything they can to stop any kind of audit from happening or from anybody collecting evidence or having a closer look at the election. They want no part of it. That to me is the biggest red flag of them all, because if the election were run properly, if there was no funny business going on, no fraud, no crimes being committed, and these people all had absolutely nothing to worry about at all, what do they care if there's an audit or not? What do they care about an investigation? If you haven't done anything, what are you worried about? What's the issue? Clearly, if you believe the election was fine, then an audit or an investigation would certainly prove your case, right? All of these state election officials and the DAs and board of supervisors and all of them, they would all be vindicated. They'd make us look like fools. In fact, this is their chance to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are right and we are wrong. Not only that, this is their chance, and think about this, this is their chance to humiliate Trump. They'd love to do that, right? All of them would love to do that. Well, if an audit would prove that Biden got 81 million votes, why don't you do it? Why aren't you standing in line? Why isn't every state in the country raising their hands saying, oh, please audit us, right? You would vindicate yourselves. You would humiliate us if it were true. Why aren't they doing it? Why are they all fighting? I mean, instead, the opposite has been going on. They've done everything they can to stop any kind of audit from happening that they didn't control top to bottom. They've made threats. They've tried publicly shaming. They've tried to humiliate auditors, call into question their qualifications and their expertise. They've hired all kinds of lawyers to write threatening letters. They've brought in big time lawyers, like when they brought in Perkins Coie in Arizona, right? They've even tried to get Biden's Department of Justice into it, have them shut it down. But then in the same breath, they'll tell us that it's ludicrous for us to be at all suspicious as to what they're trying to hide, right? I mean, we're trying our best every single day to shut this audit down. But trust us, we're only shutting it down for the good of the people because we have nothing to hide. Why are they so desperately nervous about all this, right? Well, we know the answer. Now, as far as the bickering back and forth between the audit team, the Arizona GOP chairwoman, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, look, to be honest, it's tough to know who has all of the accurate information, right? What accusations are right, you know, which ones are right on the money, which ones are baseless, if any of them are. One side is in complete opposition to the other. I mean, they're not finding any middle ground here. That's kind of a red flag for me. And again, this goes right back to what I was just saying. Even if some of the accusations against the Maricopa board maybe aren't founded or not 100% accurate, I'm looking at this entire thing as who wants to get this done and get it done accurately and who is trying to shut this whole thing down. That, to me, is a good indication of who thinks that they're in trouble. All right, here's their statement from yesterday. This is the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. You, Senate President Fan, are the only one with the power to immediately end it. We implore you to recognize the obvious truth. Your auditors are way in over their heads. It's time to end this, for the good of the Senate, for the good of the country, and for the good for the democratic institutions that define us as Americans. Right? For the good of the Senate and the country? See, I think that the country would want to know with 100% accuracy, once and for all, that the election process was 100% secure, and what it's supposed to be, and everybody's vote counted, and nobody who wasn't supposed to vote voted, that there were no dead people voting, no illegals voting, no misplaced votes, nothing like that, right? No election interference from foreign countries. That's what I think the country would want to know 100%. And the little dig at the auditors, saying that they're in over their head. A couple podcasts ago, I read over the qualifications of Yovan Pulitzer, right? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to guess that nobody sitting on that Maricopa County board has the ability to intellectually compete with Yovan, okay? I'm guessing none of them won Most Likely to Change Society award like he did. Just look at the intentions and the attitude. They look like a bunch of nervous, sniveling little weasels, and we look calm and like we just want to get to the bottom of the truth. That, to me, says it all. But again, there are things happening right now that need to develop just a little bit more. But I think we're going to get really good news from this audit, and that's going to spread. Already, I hear Wisconsin is going to do a full Arizona-style audit. And today, you had the Republican candidate in Georgia, Vernon Jones, publicly call for a full audit as well, calling on Kemp to do it. And if not, he says when he beats Kemp, he's going to absolutely do the audit. Now, also regarding election stuff, just briefly here, Matt DiPerno, the lawsuit on behalf of a Michigan citizen was tossed out by a judge. And a lot of people are freaking out over that. It's really not that big of a deal. The judge kind of made it clear that it wasn't based on evidence whatsoever. It was really because there would be no way for the judge to, I forget what they call it legally, the judge couldn't do anything for the citizen even if he won. It's not making amends. I forget what it's called. It was a procedural thing. Basically, the state legislature of Michigan made it possible for citizens, just regular voters, to call for audits, investigations over elections, you know, when they think that there's fraud. The only thing that they did do is they made it possible, they put a clause in there that gave the audit procedure, you know, the power of how that the audit was going to be made to the AG, you know, to the state AG, and they would decide how the audit takes place. And so that's already happened. It was a sham, but there's really not much that the judge can do about it. Now, there's a lot more to the case. DiPerno is going to appeal it. It's going to go to a different court. But as he said, this really isn't that big of a deal, and it's part of a much larger multi-state investigation, and this is not the end-all be-all for Michigan. The fact that this lawsuit on behalf of a single Michigan citizen was tossed like this, don't think that Michigan is decided now, that nothing is going to happen in Michigan, and nothing could be further from the truth. All right, let's start off with something a little bit smaller than all this election stuff, but I think this definitely has importance, and it also ties into my last podcast too. I think it also proves I was right, or at least it certainly supports my theory anyway. I'm talking about my contention that the entire pipeline hack was probably staged, and this corrupt government was either directly involved or was a silent spectator because they had an interest in the whole thing. They were aware of the whole plan, and they had an interest in what was happening. Let me explain and recap just a little bit. We have 4 years of Trump. We went from depending on foreign oil to, you know, he comes in, he removes a lot of the restrictions on drilling here in the United States, and short time later, we become not only energy independent, but we got to the point where we're exporting energy, we're exporting oil, all right? Hooray. In all that time, with all the pipeline controversies going on and the success and the money flowing everywhere and everything else, no hacks. Suddenly, Biden gets in and this group hacks the Colonial Pipeline Company, snarls up production of gas on the East Coast, mostly towards the Southeast. I live in New Jersey. There were no lines, no panic. Gas stations never ran out of gas, but it was a huge problem in some states. Some states had no gas whatsoever. Plus, the scare of all this sent gas prices soaring again, which, you know, were already going up due to Biden's anti-energy policies, right? So again, we see these hackers come out of nowhere when Biden gets in, and then they oddly apologize and say, well, don't associate us with any political party. And then they said that going forward, we're going to be really researching these companies before we hack them to make sure that we're not causing any social damage. Okay. And this is after they already said that they thoroughly research companies. So which is it? Do you do it or don't you? I mean, what is this? Like a kinder, friendlier cyber terrorist group? Are you kidding me? Now, the strange thing to me was this. Biden administration, totally silent. Remember? They said it was a private matter, private company. They're not going to get involved. They're not going to even give them counsel on what to do about this situation. This was an attack on the energy supply to about a third of the nation. More if you really consider population. I mean, the Southeast, the Northeast, that's a lot of population in the United States. They had very little to say regarding the actual crime. And I put out the idea that it all seemed very, very suspicious. You have a president that runs on implementing some form of the Green New Deal, hates energy, hates gas, shut down the Keystone Pipeline, right? It's no secret where they want to take energy in the future, and it's not with gas, it's not with oil. And then we get this attack. Okay, so since then, here's what's happened. And for me, this kind of confirms that I might be right about a lot of this, that the administration was either directly involved in the whole thing or kind of running the show from the background a little bit. First off, rather than having any sympathy for the American people who either can't get gas or have to pay, you know, $5, $6, $7 a gallon for it, these idiots go on TV in the Biden administration. They start lecturing us about how if we all just drove electric cars, we wouldn't have to worry about gas. All right, so really you just told us what the whole plan has been all along. Get rid of gas, get rid of gas cars, bring in electric. Now, some outlets downplayed it all by saying there's actually no shortage. But again, if you would just be smart, get yourself an electric car like all the Hollywood elites, it's not even going to be a big deal. Who cares that America's energy supply got shut down by computer hackers? No need to worry. You've got an electric car. Now, Biden got out there the other day, confirmed their plan for electric cars, and therefore their anti-gasoline, their anti-fossil fuel stance, and everything else. I'm going to take this from Gateway Pundit. Joe Biden traveled to Dearborn, Michigan on Tuesday to visit the Ford Rouge Electric Vehicle Center. Biden promoted his highly unpopular $2 trillion infrastructure bill that has nothing to do with infrastructure that includes $174 billion to develop electric vehicles. $174 billion to develop electric cars. Not a bad little gift to that industry, right? You guys remember when Obama came in and he started giving all those billions of dollars to the solar industry and every single one of those companies went belly up? Didn't have to pay back the money. All that money just disappeared. Talk about a money laundering scam, right? What do you think's going on here? Ford unveiled a new electric F-150 Lightning pickup truck during Biden's Tuesday visit. Ford CEO Jim Farley said the F-150 Lightning will be able to power your home during an outage. It's even quicker than the original F-150, blah, blah, blah. The future of the auto industry is electric, said Joe Biden. Earlier this month, it was reported that one in five electric vehicle owners in California switched back to gas-powered vehicles because of the inconvenience of charging. It only takes a few minutes to fill up a gas tank, yet some electric vehicles need several hours of charging to drive 35 miles. Charging electric vehicles is a total hassle, say 20% of electric vehicle owners surveyed between 2012 and 2018, so they're going back to gas. The Biden administration and the Marxists in California are trying to force electric vehicles onto American citizens through infrastructure plans and executive orders. Electric vehicles cost between $50,000 to $300,000 and they take hours to fully charge the battery. I saw a bit of that charging frustration here in New Jersey a few weeks ago. I went to a grocery store and they had a couple of charging stations out front. They were full. They had, you know, cars in front there. And this millennial entitled couple, they were like visibly shaken and angry that they couldn't charge their car. Like, how dare other people use the chargers when they needed them first, right? This woman was like, well, what are we going to do? Are these people going to hog the chargers all day? I mean, who does that? I mean, I just sat back and laughed. First of all, if it takes that long to charge the cars, I mean, you know, you just arrived and the car is parked at the charger. If it's going to be there for a few hours, if it takes that long to charge a car, even if they're going to partially charge it so they can get home again, they're going to be there for at least a half hour and you're going to sit there and complain. Yeah, I'm sorry you bought an electric vehicle and now you're having trouble, but, you know, shove it. Anyway, so it's obvious going into this hack, we have a very pro-electric, anti-gas agenda from the top down, from the top down. But what also happened that's interesting and makes me think that this is a ploy. You've been watching Bitcoin sink lately? I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit again, too. Headline, hackers behind Colonial Pipeline attack received $90 million in Bitcoin ransom payments. DarkSide, the hacker group behind the Colonial Pipeline attack, received $90 million in Bitcoin over the last 9 months, according to the London-based blockchain analyst at Elliptic. After identifying and analyzing the wallet used by DarkSide, Elliptic found that the hacker group received $90 million in Bitcoin from a total of 47 distinct wallets. Colonial Pipeline reportedly paid $5 million to the hackers before announcing it would restart its operations again. Now, let me start by saying this, all right? I'm not a huge fan of crypto. I know that there's a lot of people out there that think crypto is the way of the future, that the dollar is going to be wiped out and, you know, Bitcoin is the way forward. I know there's a lot of people that have been investing in it and made fortunes, not denying that. My thinking, my opinion is this. We're seeing all of this happening with the audits. I don't think that the struggle for power is by any means over. In fact, I think it's just begun. Let's cut to the chase. If their side wins, the deep state is still in control, right? The central bank is still in control. They will destroy crypto and put in their own system, either a revamped dollar, an electronic dollar, credits, microchip us in the forehead, whatever, okay? If our side wins, the central bank is probably going to be taken down. The US dollar right now, as it stands, is a Federal Reserve note. Right, it's a private central bank, not part of the government. We'd probably see some kind of like a relaunched U.S. dollar. But we've had currency for so long. I don't think that the general public is going to do well with any kind of a concept that's too foreign to them. All right, people might understand investing in these currencies, but you know they're used to actual currency, actual dollars, denominations in tens. The idea that one Bitcoin can buy a car, for example, I mean, no matter what the cryptocurrency would turn out to be, are people going to walk into a store, get a soda for like a millionth of a credit, you know, or a millionth of a coin or whatever it's going to wind up being? To me, it's got to be super simple. It's got to be in denominations that everybody is used to. It's got to be something similar to what we had. It has to be easily understandable for every single member of society, and that's saying a lot, or it's not going to work. I just think unless they make crypto super easy to understand for everybody, you know, to make it ridiculously simple to use, it's not viable going forward. That's just my opinion. Back to the article. Last Thursday, 5.3 million in Bitcoin was emptied from the DarkSide's wallet. There has been speculation that the 5.3 million in Bitcoin was seized by the US government. Now, Joe Biden last Thursday was asked about the reported ransom paid to the hackers. This is after the Biden administration sat back and did nothing and said the cyber attack is a private sector problem, even though it affected gas distribution in one third of the country. Were you briefed on the fact that the company did pay the ransom? A reporter asked. It took a few seconds for Biden's brain to catch up, and he finally responded, I have no comment on that. So they paid $5 million, and then the government seized $5 million. Taking back the money that we paid, maybe? Now, if you notice, you have this major disturbance in energy in the United States, right? It's announced that the hackers, criminals are paid in Bitcoin. The last couple of years, the media has been putting out stories tying Bitcoin to criminal use, saying it's not a viable currency and that if you invest in it, you're basically funding and supporting child sex trafficking, women trafficking, drugs, criminals of all sorts, right? Now, in reality, only a small percentage of criminals even use Bitcoin, way less than the dollar. So there is definitely an agenda here when they report on this. Dollars are actually used far more often, but that's the fiat currency, so they're not going to complain about that. Now, here's a few quotes from the stories regarding Bitcoin, tying it to criminality. Cryptocurrencies have been used to launder the profits of online drug traffickers. They've been a tool to finance terrorism, says Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. It's a tool of kidnappers and extortionists that is contrary to civilization, according to Berkshire Hathaway Vice President Charlie Munger. Very few people are using Bitcoin to pay their bills, but some people are using it to buy drugs or subvert elections, writes New York Times columnist Paul Krugman. And President of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, thinks it's a highly speculative asset which has conducted some funny business and some interesting and totally reprehensible money laundering activity. Now, you have Janet Yellen in there with the Fed ties to the central bank, and you have the president of the EU central bank denouncing Bitcoin and crypto. They do not like it. The central bank needs to keep the fiat currencies going because crypto is out of their control, or at least these forms of it are. Let's look at another article, see if there's even more motivation tying all of this together somehow. This is going to be from Bloomberg. Headline, Federal Reserve's digital dollar push worries Wall Street. The financial services industry, braced for what could be its biggest disruption in decades, is about to get an early glimpse at the Federal Reserve's work on a new digital currency. Wall Street is not thrilled. Banks, credit card companies, and digital payment processors are nervously watching the push to create an electronic alternative to the paper bills Americans carry in their wallets, or what some call a digital dollar and others call a Fed coin. As soon as July, officials at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which have been developing prototypes for a digital dollar platform, plan to unveil their research, says James Kuna, who leads the project for the Boston Fed. A digital currency could fundamentally change the way Americans use money, leading some financial firms to lobby the Fed and Congress to slow its creation, or at least ensure that they're not cut out. The article goes on, and then it says, the fire has been lit, says John Lipsky, who has helped convene the government officials from the United States and other countries working on digital currencies as director of the Geoeconomic Center at the Atlantic Council. The world is moving very quickly on these projects. So there you have it. The central banks around the world are watching all of these cryptocurrencies rise. They control the fiat monetary system, and this is a threat. So in response, they're getting ready to roll out their own systems of digital currency. Now, the Colonial Pipeline hack was May 7th, okay, around 12 days ago. At that time, Bitcoin was trading at around 58,000. It was just like one day shy of its high of 59,000 and change. Today, it's at 40,275. It's lost about a third of its value and started tanking right after the hack. Now, this could all just be coincidence and a big mistake on my part, but I don't know. Hackers attack when Biden gets in, not during Trump. Democrats want the Green New Deal, get rid of oil, get rid of gas industry, gas prices skyrocket, there are shortages again, just like we had in the 70s. They tell us you should be driving electric cars. And even though all of the hackers' activity, this company, DarkSide, is illegal, they're hackers, only the $5 million Bitcoin payment is removed from the hacker's account. The headlines make sure that you know that it was a Bitcoin payment. The central banks around the world, the Federal Reserve, they're creating a competitor to cryptocurrency, which would be tied to our own government, and Bitcoin is crashing. That's odd. I think I'm right. I'm sure many of you have a different opinion. You think I'm nuts, but I don't trust this administration not to pull something like this off for nothing but agenda-driven politics. Now, on to the second subject, and this is kind of related to the virus. In fact, it is very much related to the virus. There's a story out today that's just absolutely mind-blowing about the coronavirus and its origins. And if this story is true, that means that I've been 100% right about this from the get-go. My take has always been this, and it's not a popular one. Whenever I share it with people, they think I'm crazy. Virus didn't come from a bat. It didn't get spread in a market. It was manipulated. Maybe it was wild in origin. Maybe it originally was a bat, you know, coronavirus that they took and manipulated in a lab to be weaponized. I'm not sure. However, it has been my contention since the start, since the very start of this podcast, that the Chinese and the Democrat Party, the deep state, central bankers, that whole cabal of satanic evil people had a common enemy in Donald Trump. He was not supposed to win. Hillary was supposed to be the president. He disrupted the 16-year plan of the deep state, and he was a major, major thorn in the side of China by causing them to lose billions of dollars in trade renegotiations and losing a lot of manufacturing back to the United States. When Trump came in, America was on the rise. China was on the decline. They don't like that. So I've always said that the Democrats and the Chinese released the virus on purpose into the world. The first case of the virus in the United States was reported on the very same day that Nancy Pelosi walked the articles of impeachment number one over to the Senate. They needed to tank the economy. They needed to end the Trump rallies. They needed to provide cover for Biden so he didn't have to campaign much and he could stay in his basement. And most of all, bigger than anything else, they needed to bring in mass mail-in voting to steal the election. All they had during the 2016 election to cheat was the machines, and they only had a certain algorithm in place to cheat just a little bit, just enough to win. Trump blew right past that and won. Despite their cheating. This time, they needed a backup. And that's why Hillary freaked out so badly. Couldn't believe she lost, because she wasn't supposed to lose. They were supposed to have the thing rigged for her. But he won in such a landslide. Landslide. It blew right past their 2 or 3 or 4% that they had built into the machines. Couldn't handle it. Now, the Chinese, for their part, get to remove Trump. They get to install their puppet Biden. They go back to China being in control. As a bonus, communist-style lockdowns, removal of our liberties. China just loves it, right? Takes place all over the world. All of these countries get weakened. People they become more obedient and weak, and China is just loving it. Now, I took a lot of heat for that, right? I got some emails calling me stupid and a conspiracy theorist and all that. And everyone out there who is actually famous, has, you know, the huge platforms, huge podcasts and everything else. Any one of them who said the same thing or something similar, they usually got banned from YouTube or Facebook or anything else. They wound up having to go over to BitChute or Rumble to be able to stay online. Okay. I'm not the only one that had that opinion, but close. That has been and always will be my opinion. The coronavirus exists because Trump was defeating the Democrat Party, the deep state, and he was defeating globalism worldwide, and they had to strike back. They had no issue sacrificing lives if it meant regaining their power. Now, for a little bit of confirmation, let's look at a breaking news story. Again, I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. Headline, senior member of CCP, that's the Communist Party of China, senior member of CCP think tank claims China won unprecedented biological war against the United States in 2020 and, quote, put the U.S. back in its place. A senior member of a Chinese Communist Party think tank claimed China won a biological war against the United States in 2020. The mainstream media is finally catching up with the conservative media and reporting that COVID-19 originated in a Wuhan lab. Now, let me stop here real quick and clear something up. I wasn't saying that I'm the only one who thought that the virus came from the lab and that it was released on purpose. All right, a lot of people on our side, who still have courage say that. What I don't see is a lot of people on our side that say it was in full cooperation and coordination with the Democrat Party in the deep state. Yeah, it came from a lab. Pretty much everybody who thinks rationally understands that now. But I'm saying the Democrats were in on its release so that they could bring in the mail-in ballots, steal the election, usher in their socialist, communist, deep state utopia, whatever you want to choose to call it, okay? Fully on purpose. Just like all those governors sent COVID patients into the nursing homes, any rational human being knows what would happen next. They did it anyway. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. That's the kind of evil. The ends justify the means, no matter how horrific. Back to the article. COVID-19 was then unleashed on the world to cripple Western nations, especially the United States. Ping Chen, a professor of national development at Peking University in Beijing, said China put the U.S. back in its place. The video, authenticity and translation, was confirmed by New York-based Chinese blogger Jennifer Zheng. In 2020, China won the trade war, science and technology war, and especially the biological war. Especially the biological war. Pardon me? The media doesn't seem to want to mention that this was a biological warfare tactic, right? The achievement is unprecedented. Now, notice he used the word achievement. That means there was intention. You achieve something that you set out to do. This is an epic-making historical record. So for the liberal American worshiping cult with China, their worship of the United States is actually unfounded. After this trade war and biological warfare, the U.S. was beaten back into its original shape, Chen Ping said. China's main goal was crippling the United States economically and putting Biden in power so they could go back to ruling the world, okay? Same with the rest of the world. China, oddly enough, didn't do too badly with the virus, did they? And here they are cranking out trinkets for the rest of the world and we're still giving them money, right? Even though they did this on purpose. I mean, the Democrats, they didn't have the exact goals as China, but getting the mail-in voting was key. That was absolutely key to seizing power forever. Not just getting rid of Trump. Look how fast the Democrats are trying to make mail-in voting permanent. Why? Are we always going to have a virus? Or was it never about the virus anyway? Sit back and think about how big this really is. A member of the CCP basically saying that this was biological warfare, that they won, that they weakened America and the world, took Trump out, and restored China back to prominence. And what's the world going to do? Flock to the stores to buy Chinese-made goods. Probably, they're probably buying Chinese masks, the very masks that they're wearing to protect themselves from the very virus China made in a lab and unleashed on purpose with the help of some American friends. All right, I think I'm going to cut it short today. That's going to be it. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know other people who would enjoy it, please pass it along to them as well. Keep your eye on Maricopa, on the audits, and all of the news coming out of there, out of all of these swing states over the next week or so. And as things develop, I'm going to do a podcast about that. I think we're going to get some wonderful news pretty soon regarding all of this, and keep hoping for the best, keep praying for the country, and stay positive. All right, I'll talk to you again soon. Take care.